Can't I just listen to my son's DJ mix, Richard? Welcome back to the Bruce Salin Show, a dad's point of view. That is my son, Arnie Salin's 1 hour and 7 minute DJ mix. We are going to be playing clips from it for the next few weeks, and I hope you enjoy it. And if you want to get a copy of it or get access to it, it's on a website. I have the link. Just email me at bruce@brucesalin.com. So welcome back to the Bruce Salin Show, a dad's point of view. I am Bruce Salin, and you can email me at bruce@brucesalin.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Bruce Salin. It's time for the Women's Room with Dr. Jennifer Weberman, who is a psychologist and parent coach with over a decade of experience helping children, teens, and parents empower themselves in positive good ways. She's been affectionately referred to as the super nanny of Springfield. She now shares everything she has learned as a psychologist and parent coach on her blog that is called theparentingplayground.com. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Weberman.
It's good to be back, and I'm so glad that you're back in your hometown.
I am happy to be back, too, although I must say I am a ski fanatic, and I love it. You have got to see my column coming up this weekend, which is called How Skiing Can Cure Cancer. There are 11 original videos that I made for this. It is an ode to my love of skiing and my ode to my current love of the Canyons Resort in Utah. And as we've discussed, it's supposed to be as amazing in the summer as in the winter. So you and your husband are invited to join us if you can this summer sometime, I hope.
That is so sweet, although I do miss all the winter sports that I used to do. It was so much fun.
So I'm curious, what music is significant to you? I mean, do you have a song that you played at your wedding? Do you have a song that you immediately think of your husband? Do you have a song that brings you back to high school? And I know, and I'm afraid to hear the answers, that every single one of them is going to make me feel like I am your grandpa, but go ahead.
I knew you were going to say that.
Of course you knew I was going to say that.
Well, I think naturally for anyone, the music that you heard when you were an adolescent is the music that stays the most significant for you, because it's such an emotional time period and music is so significant. And I was an adolescent in the late 80s and early 90s, so yeah, I'm going to make you feel old.
New Kids on the Block?
Well, I was a huge NKOTB fan, I must say, but that's not the music that gets me very emotional now. I have a weak point for monster ballads. Do you know what monster ballads are?
The metal band ballads?
Oh, yeah. So, like, the big hair bands of the 80s, when they had a slow song.
Oh, yeah.
So, Guns N' Roses.
They did a couple great ones. What's the great Guns N' Roses one? Is that Patience?
Oh, that's such a good song. Yeah, and yeah. Sweet Child of Mine, I think, is a beautiful song.
But that gets pretty hard. That doesn't stay as a ballad.
It's true. But it's a very sweet, romantic song.
And I can't think of anything out of Axl Rose's mouth being defined as sweet. I mean, that's kind of an oxymoron.
That's why monster ballads are so beautiful. It's sort of like that juxtaposition of the romantic side.
Yeah, even Kiss had a
hard rocker.
Even Kiss had a great one. I don't remember which one, but they had a great soft one.
Yeah, that's
true.
Def Leppard had a few. Damn Yankees, Poison, Warren. I love all that stuff.
Oh, this is an interesting side of you. Okay.
I still remember the first slow dance with a boy.
What was it?
Every rose has its thorn. I was dancing with Jeffrey. Sweet, cute little Jeffrey. And that stuff, I don't know, for some reason it stays more significant even than the song I walked down the aisle to, which I love and is beautiful and has so many good memories, but it doesn't have the same effect on me as music from my childhood.
What was the song you walked down the aisle with?
After All by Peter Cetera and Cher.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And that's an 80s song, but it wasn't significant to me in the 80s.
You know, it's funny. I always had songs that I associated with girlfriends.
Yeah.
And if we broke up and I had any kind of heartbreak, it was impossible for me to listen to that song again. There was one exception. A favorite song of mine throughout the ages was The Temptations' My Girl. And I often would make that our song with whatever girl I was with. And that song, to me, was so powerful, it survived any breakup. So whenever I would hear that song, I never associated it with a particular girl. I just loved it. And I was determined to not let that song get lost in a heartbreak, because I was this kind of a corny romantic. And if you and I were together and we broke up and the song was After All, I couldn't hear it without breaking into tears.
Why did you lose the song in the breakup?
Yes, I mean, why did the song have to be hostage to the relationship? So I refused with My Girl. and I made a hugely conscious effort, and it has survived the times. Same thing with All Elvis. Can't Help But Falling in Love was a big song for me with my first marriage. I don't care. Marriage ended. It is still my favorite song of all time.
That is a beautiful song. And you know what? In my generation, we have the UB40 remix of Can't Help Falling in Love.
Which is darn good. It's darn
a really good,
good.
Version.
Yes.
Now, what about breakup songs? Because after the relationship ends, there's that song that sort of captures the pain and the agony of the suffering.
Do you have any in particular that come to mind for you?
Oh, gosh. Alanis Morissette, I think, nailed it with, what was the name of that song that she had in the 90s?
Oh, heck if I remember.
It was such an angry breakup song. It was about, you know, just making sure that partner remembers how much pain they inflicted on you and never letting it go.
The other type of song, which I've actually never articulated before, is the song you hope will bring us back together. So you listen to the song, and I think of my wonderful relationship with Jennifer, and if only she were listening to the song right now, she'd be thinking of me, and if I reached out, she'd go, Bruce, I was just thinking of you. So there were those songs, too, where you'd hear the lyrics, and you were convinced they were written about you and your love.
Oh, my goodness.
That's special.
I have to say, there's no one that I ever broke up with that I wanted to get back together with.
Oh,
I think once I broke up with them, I was like, all right, this is done.
Adios, amigos. You know, I had one relationship that I got back together with three times over a 15 to 20 year period.
Oh, wow.
She was the first crush of my life. I was 14 and she was like 15 and a half. And in those days, it was impossible. And I took her to, like, the first concert I ever went to, which was Peter, Paul, and Mary and Gordon Lightfoot at the Hollywood Bowl. And the whole concert at 14 or 15 or whatever I was, and she was a year and a half older, even though we were in the same grade, I struggled to get the courage to put my arm around her shoulder. So I did the whole thing of, like, stretching out my arms, yawning, you know, you know, arching my back because, of course, I'm so stiff. By the time of the third encore, I got there just in time for us to get up and stand and leave. Ten 10 years later, we got together again. This time we really had a relationship. And then 10 years later, we got together yet again. So that does happen. It was I don't know why I told you that story.
And was there a song for this?
No, none that I remember. I was a jerk with the middle breakup, and she was pretty mad about it. I handled it like a true coward by basically just, you know, disappearing. You know, that was the way I knew how to break up rather than just go straight on. And then the moment I did that, I realized what an idiot I was and what a mistake I did. And by the time I called her, she had just moved on and told me to go you know where. And that's what I deserved. So that's how we learn. That's how we learned.
But clearly she forgave you at some point if you had a third attempt.
She did.
There must be something irresistible about you.
No, there's something irresistible about her, I think. And we had this connection that spanned decades. She eventually, and here's the greatest irony of all. We both got married. She was, I guess still is, a very successful calligrapher. And she ended up, when I got engaged and married, making the wedding invitations for us and doing the ketubah.
Oh, wow.
Okay, a ketubah, for those that don't know, is the so-called wedding contract that is required in Jewish law. It's really more ceremonial now than anything else. And you can have a pre-made one or you can have one that is custom-made. This was a little bit of both. And it was a beautiful piece of art because she was a beautiful artist and a beautiful calligrapher. And we, of course, had it framed in our house. And, of course, now it's in a basement drawer somewhere because having the ketubah of my first marriage is probably not the right adornment on the wall now that I'm remarried, nor would my wife even understand what it is, not being Jewish. But the irony was that Robin did the wedding invitations in ketubah. We stayed in touch all those years because I didn't get married till I was 40. So we're talking about a relationship that spanned 25 years.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I actually wonder where and what she's up to now. We just haven't been in touch, and there'd be no reason not to reach out if I could find her. She did get married and had twins, and as far as I know, continued her very successful calligraphy business to the stars. She mostly did a lot of big things, big events in Hollywood and all of that, and was quite talented.
I can't speak on behalf of your listeners, but I think there's probably a lot of people out there just like me who are very curious to know how the story would unfold if you were to reach out to her. So would you do that?
Yes. No, there's no reason not to. If I can find her, I will.
That's what Facebook is for, right?
Yeah. No, it's been at least 15 years, and I doubt she's left the area, so I will make an effort for sure.
You'll have to let me know how that goes.
I will. Any other songs that we only have a minute left, so we're not going to get to our other topic. I guess we are staying light today, which doesn't hurt once in a while. Any other songs that just come to mind that you think of your husband?
Oh, wow. When I think of my husband?
Did you have a dating song? Or what's the first concert you went to with him? You better know that.
We never went to a concert.
What about a concert video or a concert movie?
But the first concert I ever went to, period, you're going to laugh, was Paula Abdul and Color Me Bad.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. You were so young. I can't believe it.
I am so young. And I was a squealing fan. I almost had a heart attack when they came out on stage.
Wow.
I do go to the Woodstock reunion concert in 1994.
Oh, that must have been cool.
3 days sleeping in a tent. It was amazing. Metallica, Nine Inch Nails, Melissa Etheridge. There were just amazing, amazing performers there.
Okay, best show you've ever been to?
I think Billy Joel, Bruce Springsteen, and Green Day put on the best shows I've ever seen.
Oh, the three of them. You don't mean together. I was going to say, I never knew that they played together. I was going, whoa, that's a show I would have wanted to see. Yeah, Billy Joel on the day had to be amazing. I wish I'd seen Billy Joel when he toured with Elton John. That would have been cool.
Oh, I would have loved to have seen that.
Yeah.
Love Elton John.
I saw him in Vegas, but it just wasn't the same. It was a good show, but it was so overly produced. Like Celine Dion's show, which I think I saw as well. And some of those shows in Vegas are just a little too over the top for me. They don't have that rock and roll feel because they're in these, fancy halls, and it's way too produced. Anyway, we are out of time. So,
oh my goodness, that was fun.
Tell our listeners where they can find you once again, please.
The blog is theparentingplayground.com, and we are on Facebook under the same name, and Twitter, it's Dr_Weberman.
And I hope I'll see you tonight for Winter Workout at Dad Chat.
I'm looking forward to it. It's such a great group of people at Dad Chat.
Thank you, and wear your spandex.
Okay.
All right, thank you. We'll be back for some closing remarks after these messages.